Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music and for just being able to sense the presence of God in this place every time we assemble ourselves together. And no place like church. You can't get this anywhere else. Amen. I mean, you can't find this anywhere else. And that's why God tells us not to forsake it, because He knows we have a need for it. And praise the Lord for it. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through, been studying and teaching on the life of Joseph. And what a great study it's been. We've been already in this series for almost 2 years. It's unreal. The time really just flies when you're in a study like this. But Joseph was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And as we look to the story of Joseph, it's just not a story, just a literature book to read. It's much more than that. It was a life that God had a purpose for and then recorded his life in the Bible, so that as we read that, we can not only understand and learn the historical truths of what Joseph was able to accomplish, but we can also learn biblical principles that we can make application to our own lives. And that's why, again, as he's looked at as a type of Christ in the Old Testament, he was very Christ-like in how he conducted himself. He was very Christ-like in the decisions he made. And we see so much of the New Testament conduct in the life of Joseph. And I trust it's been a help to you as we've been going through and studying this the story of Joseph and how God had a purpose and a plan for his life, and how that we can just see that it's revealed more even in the New Testament and the Christ and the teachings of Christ for Christianity today. And so the theme of the life of Joseph has been God is able to work all things out for good. In the end, we'll find that he told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." And then we have that biblical principle established and given to us in Romans 8:28. "For all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." And that's it. That's the whole theme of the Joseph's life. And so we've been looking at that and studying that no matter how it might seem right now, as long as you're looking to God, there is possibilities. God always allows something good as long as we make right decisions. It gives us opportunities for something good to come out of whatever it is that we have to face, as long as we make right decisions. And Joseph continued to make right decisions, and so things continue to work for good. And so God makes that opportunity available to us. As long as we look to God, all things do work together for good. And so we've been studying that. Joseph had been following God's plan for restoring Jacob's family. Now, Jacob, one of the patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's plan for establishing the nation of Israel through Jacob and his 12 sons, we would find, would come the 12 tribes of Israel. But they were not ready to be used by God as to become the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph was the only one that had biblical character, Christian character. Joseph was the only one that had a desire for the things of God. He becomes his father's favorite child. All the other brothers dislike him so much, and they're such rebels that they sell him into slavery. And that's the beginning of the life of Joseph. We go through that, and what a blessing it is to have all that. But now God had been working through Joseph to restore this Jacob's family, because they would become the 12 tribes of Israel. God understood that. And so last lesson we studied here, as we're going through now, Joseph's already been through all the trials. God prepared him. Now he is a right hand to Pharaoh. He is in charge of the greatest nation on the face of the earth. He went from being in prison, being sold into slavery from prison. Now he has got the number one job in the world. And God is going to work through him to save Israel. And he's going to work through him to bring Israel, the family of Jacob, into Egypt, where they will be protected, where they will be nurtured, where they will be able to grow into the great nation of Israel. And so last lesson, as Joseph had been working God's plan for restoring these rebels of his brothers, he finally was able to identify himself as the one that they sold into slavery. And after all that, and Joseph reveals himself, chapter 45 and verse 15 says this, and this is where we left off last lesson. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Now, the message we preached on that was kiss and make up. Once you've gone through the process, and they went through the process of acknowledging sin, they went through the process of repentance, getting forgiveness for sins, and now they're ready to be restored in this relation, this family relationship. It was very important that they were able to look each other in the eye. Joseph looked each one of his brothers in the eyes, kissed them, hugged them, and went on with their lives. They was able to talk after that. They was able to reconnect in this relationship that God had for them. And so, kiss and make up. And so we studied that. We looked at that, and we made some biblical applications to that. God's plan's working. God's plan's working. And so now we're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 25. I believe this is the next event in the life of Joseph, and there's much application to be made in this next event. So stand with me tonight. We're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 25. Are you ready to study the Word of God tonight? Okay, make sure you tell yourself that, okay? Tell your face that. Tell your mind that. Stay focused on what God has for us tonight. Let's get into this study and receive it. God had, you got half the battles won getting here. That's half the battle. Don't give up after you've won half the battle. Get the rest of it. Make sure you receive what God has for you. That's the next half of the battle. And so let's get that tonight. So here in chapter 45, starting in verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again tonight, what a blessing already that we have received and just being in this place. Thank you for it. But now, Lord God, as we open up your word and we study this life of Joseph, I know that you want to speak to us through your word. Help us to learn biblical principles, to make application in what we might be facing in our own lives today. Pray that you bless throughout the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, God's plan is working. God saw this all along. He prepared Joseph. He allowed something good to come out of something that looked very evil. And he allowed this to happen because he had a purpose and a plan. He placed Joseph where he wanted Joseph to be. And now he is working, now that Joseph is where he needed to be. Now he is able to work to use Egypt to be able to grow the nation of Israel. God's chosen people in which he will have a plan and dividing the 12 tribes of Israel and on, and we'll be able to see that later on. But God's plan was working. God works on Pharaoh's heart to bless Joseph's family. Now, the first part of this, as we look here in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 16 all the way down to verse 23, that's what's happening here. God works on Pharaoh's heart. This is a heathen nation that Pharaoh sought after Joseph's God. He sought after Joseph, and Joseph said, "It's not me. I don't have anything that can help you. But my God has everything that you need." And because of Joseph's testimony, now Pharaoh has an appreciation for the God of Israel, Joseph's God. And he realized that Joseph was the man that brought God into his life, brought God into his rule. And that's why he gave things to Joseph, because he knew that he had the power of God upon his life. And so he elevates Joseph. And now we find that Joseph brings he identifies his brothers, and Pharaoh hears about it. Now, think about this for a minute. For the Egyptians, it was an abomination for the Egyptians to eat with the Hebrews. The Egyptians thought themselves so much better than the rest of the world. And especially the Jews or the Hebrew Jews, it was an abomination. It was against their law to sit down to have a meal with a Hebrew. That's how they thought. That's how they viewed the Hebrews. But now, because of Joseph and God working through Joseph on the heart of Pharaoh, Pharaoh now tells Joseph, I'm pleased with you identifying with your brothers. I would be pleased to invite your entire family to come to Egypt and to live here. Verse 16 to 17, that's what it says. And the fame thereof was heard in the Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well. And not only Pharaoh, but Joseph had such a testimony in the land of Egypt that even Pharaoh's servant said, hey, I love Joseph so much, I have to love who Joseph loves. If they're family to Joseph, they're family to me. Amen? You know, I married people that all the time when I counsel them. I say, you love your in-laws through your love for your spouse. Because that's his family. That's her family. No matter what happens, that's always going to be their family. And so, many times, the way you love your in-laws is through your love for your spouse. Now, I hope it can grow into something more than that. It's always a blessing when it does. When my wife's family becomes my family. My family becomes my wife's family. There's no arguments or no. I mean, she doesn't have to love them just because she loves me. She actually has a love for my family. That's a blessing when that happens. But it doesn't always happen that way. And so, in order for you to be able to be united in that overall family, you have to love your in-laws through your love for your spouse. I don't know if I love my spouse that much, preacher. You ought to. You married them. You have a marriage for life. Amen. And so in order to have the peace in the home, you better learn to do that. But we find this is true. They loved Joseph so much. Even the servants of Pharaoh said, even though it's an abomination in our laws to sit down and eat with a Hebrew, we love Joseph so much we didn't even realize that he was possibly a Hebrew, but we love him so much that we will love his family because of our love for Joseph. And God was working there. God was working in the heart of Pharaoh, and God was working in the hearts of others around them because God had a plan. Please Pharaoh well. Not only that, verse 18, not only was he pleased to bring them into the land, look what he says in verse 18, and take your father and your household and come unto me, and I will give you the good land of Egypt. I'm not going to put you in the projects. I'm going to give you the very best. Now, you see, that would not have happened outside of God working on the heart of Pharaoh. God knew what he wanted to do through Egypt in the life of his children. Wouldn't have worked if he had put them in the projects. Wouldn't have worked if they would have had to come and pay for the land. Now, later on, they're going to be slaves in the land, and that's why they're going to come out of Egypt, but not until they had already become a very powerful nation in the midst of Egypt. But we find here that he gives them the good land. they would end up prospering because of this good land more than the Egyptians were prospering. No payment plan. Don't you love it when somebody actually gives you something instead of makes you think they're giving you something, then attach a payment plan to it? God. Verse 19. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Don't question yourself, Joseph. Pharaoh saying, Joseph, I know this to be the right thing to do. Whether you're questioning whether or not you ought to be able to do this or you ought to ask me to do this, don't worry about it. You're not asking anything of me. I'm commanded you to do this. Now that's a blessing there. It's like when you're sitting down and you've ate your meal and somebody brings dessert and he said, well, I don't know. I command you, eat your dessert. Oh, all right then. If it's a command, I got to do it. Amen? Calories or not, I'm going to eat. You want it all along. This is what you really wanted, but you felt bad about it because you might be trying to lose weight or something else is going on. But the person says, I command you, eat that dessert. As long as it's a good dessert, it's a great thing. And so we find here that we're seeing here this is abnormal. Thinking of the human heart and the human mind, this is not something that is physically taking place here. This is something that is divine intervention. It's seen very clearly. Commanded. Verse 20. Also regard not your stuff. Don't bring that old, worn out, broken down beds with you. Leave them there. Don't bring any of the old stuff. He said, you're coming to Egypt. We have the finest of the finest here. We've got some of the most updated. Amen. Jacuzzis. We've got all the electronics you could ever think of. All the newest inventions are here. Don't bring your stuff. Tell them to leave it behind because I have something better. Regard not your stuff for the good of all the land of Egypt. Your stuff couldn't compare to our stuff. Leave it behind. Come and it's yours. I'll replace your stuff with that which is better. Now, as you look at this, there is no doubt God is working a miracle. How could they not see this? I think they did. Joseph is beside himself. All of his brothers are just realizing, my goodness. Are we dreaming here? We thought we was going to be executed, and now we are treated like a royal. Treated as kings. The question. Now this is what's taking place. Let's make an application. Have you ever experienced God working in your life? When you thought, there's no other explanation. The only explanation is God. As I was preparing and thinking back over my life, there have been many, many times I've come to that place to realize, it's God. Even though I've never seen a 500-foot Jesus walking down the street. I've never heard a voice, an audible voice, call out to me in my bedroom. Except for my wife. But it's been just as clear as if I'd have seen it with my own eyes. Heard it with my own ears. And I've looked up to the heavens and I've said, thank you, God. Personally, as a teenager, I was saved when I was 8 years old and at first was dedicated in my teenage years. I started rebelling from God's call upon my life, and there was some years there that God really had to do a work in my life. And I look back, and everyone somewhat has somewhat of a similar, possibly a similar testimony, but I should have died many a times. Every time, the thought would come to my mind, the reason I'm still alive is because of God. I totaled a 750 Honda 3 times. As a teenager going into my early 20s, I enjoyed fast motorcycles. And at that time, during those years, one of the fastest bikes out there, and I put a kid into it, it was a 750 Honda, I enjoyed riding fast, doing wheelies. I just enjoyed doing that. The more dangerous, the more I enjoyed it. The faster it went, the more adrenaline it gave me. I totaled that bike 3 times. I bought it back from the insurance company twice. The third time I said, keep it. Twice. Most people do not survive one motorcycle accident unless you just barely lay it over. I totaled that bike 3 times. After every time that I totaled that bike, I remember looking up to God, saying, God help. It was flipping over in front of my eyes. I'm sliding down the highway interstate, seeing my bike ahead of me, burning my hands off, and seeing my bike just flip over down. I just remember, God help. One time, Ron Midgley was on the back of it, and a guy pulled in front of us, and I hit him straight in the side. And both of us went flying over. And there was the road, there was a big rock, and there was a muddy patch. And I hit first on the mud. And Ron hit right on top of me on the mud, pushing me down. Totaled my bike. And I was thinking while I was flying through the air, Lord God, help. 3 times I totaled that bike. And each time afterwards, I thought, I shouldn't have made it through that. I totaled 3 different cars. A 67 Impala, convertible. I wish I had that back. A 2-door. A 68 GTO. A 72 Corvette. All 3 of those totaled. I should have died. In all of that, as I look back, outside of a few scratches, I walked away from each one. Only God. As a parent, I've experienced God working when I've said, only God. God intervened more than once in raising our children. As a pastor, I knew it was God establishing this church. I knew it was God that allowed us to be in this place, having this property. I knew it to be only God working in members' lives. Some that should have died, God intervened. Some marriages that should have, by all physical rights, been dissolved. And God worked. Joseph knew that God was working. Have you ever experienced God? With that in mind, after he knew it was God working, And all of his brothers, how could they not have seen this to be the hand of God? The second part I want you to see here, look in verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, Joseph had learned this through his trials, through his experiences leading up to where he's at. See that you fall not out by the way. Underline that. Whenever you have a temptation to turn back to the world, whenever you have a temptation to do something that you know you should not do that would endanger your walk with God, your family's walk with God, read that. Think back to the times when you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt there was no other explanation for what had taken place in your life. You knew then and you know now it was only God. And fall not out by the way. The warning associated with the blessings. The warning associated with the blessings of God. Fall not out by the way. God had done more than anyone could have ever expected. Joseph knew that there would be spiritual opposition. No doubt Joseph himself had personally experienced it. He knew after his brothers sold him into slavery, the thing that got him through that was to realize that God was still in control and that God had a purpose for Joseph's life. He had been taught that by his mother for 8 years. He had been taught that by his father for the next 9 years. At age 17, he was sold into slavery. And as he was sold into slavery, he looked around and in his mind, he's thinking, God has a purpose for my life. I know that God's presence is here. I cannot forget what God is working in my life. He could have fallen out on by the way because if God's working, how could God work and allow you to be sold into slavery? Joseph never gave up his faith in God. Never gave up his hope in knowing that God had a purpose for his life no matter what took place. And he determined, I will not fall out no matter what the circumstances of my life. Why? Because I know only God. I look back and I know that God is real. I know that God has shown himself to me time after time after time in different circumstances of life. And I will not forget what God has done in revealing to me his presence. And so no matter what blessings God has bestowed upon me, there are going to be circumstances in the midst of those blessings that if you're not careful are going to encourage you to turn away from God. And you're going to fall out, by the way. Even though God's revealed it all to you, even though God has revealed himself to you and God has blessed you many times, but because of a certain circumstance. He knew of God's protection, grace, and mercy, but still battled daily. Being a servant to Potiphar. Being in a jail, prison house. He kept thinking, God is real. He's proven himself to me. I will not fall out, by the way. To get where Joseph was, he had to keep reminding himself, don't fall out, by the way. God has a purpose. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay focused. Because I know God has a purpose. And so he understood that himself. And so now he's looking to his brothers and said, can you see God working in our lives here? We're back together as a family. God wants to restore our home. God is going to bring you back into Egypt. And God is doing all this. And so listen to me. when you're on your way back, during the days of your traveling back to Canaan, be reminded of God's miracles and don't fall out by the way back. Now, I believe that Joseph knew that they would have a long road back to Canaan and they would have to possibly face having to do one of the most hardest things they would do in their lives at this point, confess their sin to their father Jacob. 27 years. Jacob still believed that Joseph had been killed by an animal. And now they're going back to tell Dad that was all a lie. We sold your favorite son into slavery. And on the way back, they're going to say, who's going to tell Dad? Who's going to step up? And they might have been pointing fingers and say, well, if you hadn't have done this, and if you hadn't have done this, and before you know it, during that travel back, the circumstances of what they would have to face when they got back could have kept them from doing what they needed to do. And that was to face their past sins and confess their sins to their father. Question. What is it that you know you have to do to be right with God? Are you letting that keep cause you to fall out? You know God is God and you know that God has a purpose for your life, but you say, preacher, I cannot face that. I just can't give this up and I can't do that. I can't live the Christian life. I can't be in church. I can't read my Bible like I should. I can't develop a walk with God because this is in my life. And you're letting that keep you from a walk and a relationship with an almighty creator God? Who can bless you and has done a work in your life to help you to see that He's real. And you're falling out, by the way. I've seen God work as a pastor. I've seen God do some things in people's lives to restore a marriage, to bring back a prodigal child, to open a door to a job opportunity that they didn't even know existed. I've seen God heal cancer. I've seen God do some things that that person would have to tell you, only God. Only to see them afterwards. Because the circumstances fall out by the way. We can't get sidetracked. No matter what. No matter what you have to face, no matter what the circumstances of your life, you cannot get sidetracked when you know God is who He is. Don't fall out, by the way. God has a purpose. God's working a plan. Don't fall out, by the way, because if you fall out, by the way, you'll never experience it. If you fall out by the way, Joseph, if he had fallen out by the way, if he had to give in to Potiphar's wife and had that relationship, if he would have done any of those things, if he would have given in to the temptations that he was given over and over again throughout his trials, he would have fallen out by the way. He would have never made it to Egypt as the right hand of Pharaoh. He'd never been the ruler. If he never got to that position, Israel would have never have been rescued. His family would have been in turmoil the rest of their lives. They would have never become the 12 tribes of Israel. They would have never become the great nation Israel that God would work through. If he had fallen out, by the way. If Christ would have stopped short of going to the cross of Calvary, we wouldn't be here tonight. All of us would be doomed to a devil's hell. Was he tempted? Over and over again. Did he fall out? Not a chance. We need to stay on course because we have a message that needs to be delivered. Don't fall out by the way, because Joseph wanted his brothers to go back and tell his father, Jacob, you have a message for my dad. You have a message for Jacob, and it's from God. And God is doing the work, and He wants you to come and move your family to Egypt, where they'll be taken care of, where they can be protected and grow into the great and powerful nation of Israel. Don't fall out by the way. You have a message that's too important. You have a message for your spouse. You have a message and your example to your children. You have a message that God is real and Christianity is strong and I'm going to live for God. That will affect generations to follow you. Don't fall out by the way. Last verse, I believe that brings it all together for us. Galatians chapter 6. Whatever you have to do, whatever you have to face to maintain a right relationship with God, do it. You need to stay focused on what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, in God's time, we shall reap if we faint not. Wrapped up in one verse right there. This whole next event in Joseph's life with his brothers, wrapped up right there. That's a biblical principle. Don't fall out. No matter what you're facing, don't fall out. Don't get weary in well-doing. Stay focused on what God has done, what He is doing, and more importantly, what He will do. What He will do. God has a purpose and a plan. Let's stay connected with it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The first question I ask you is, have you ever experienced God working in your life? If you've been saved for very long at all, just salvation reveals that you've experienced God working in your life. For God to get you to the place where you confess that you're lost in need of a Savior, for God to get you to the place where you would receive Jesus, that's a miracle. Every salvation's a miracle. God's done it for you. He revealed Himself to you, and you confess and you receive Christ as your Savior. Don't ever forget that. But then the longer you live, the more you see God working in your life. Make note of those things, those times. Don't ever forget that. That's what will help keep you doing right. That's what will help you to stay focused on God's will and His purpose for your life. That's what will keep us from falling out, by the way. Wednesday nights, very seldom we have a musical invitation. There's always an invitation. Right now is that time. God's speaking to you, and you need to make a decision. Do it now. Just get up, come to this altar, commit it to God. If you have need for somebody to take a Bible and pray with you, show you what the Bible says, we'd love to do so, but I'm not going to force you to do that. God spoke to you. Now it's of your own free will that you have to make a commitment. You have to make an application to what God has revealed to you tonight. If there's an application, if there's something, a decision you need to make, right now, won't you come? Invitation's open. If you have need to come, we invite you to come. Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord God, how you use it in our lives. What it meant to Joseph and his brother and to the nation of Israel and Lord, biblical principle, what it means and the difference it'll make in our lives. Help us, Lord, just to keep the faith. Not let Satan blind us to it. Help us not to fall out, but to stay faithful. Bless each one that's come forward with a need. I pray that you meet that need. As we get ready to dismiss, I pray that you watch over us, get us all home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.